Haven't got to that yet.
Hello, Roger.
Whoa. Yes. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Roger.
Good morning. Are you there?
Good morning, everybody. Give us one more minute and we will get this started.
All right.
Hey, Arlene, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Great. And we can hear you, Roger.
You can? I didn't see no place to click to join and put the passcode in. I didn't see that. Am I on, I guess?
Yeah, you're on. Yeah, sometimes okay. If you have the participant link, you don't need to do that.
Okay.
And
Arlene and Roger, the middle of page 3, that's when each of you have comments. And Arlene, I saw your message back to Mari yesterday, so if you can say something like that, that'd be great.
Sure.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Meister. I'm Executive Director of the Illinois Finance Authority. I would like to call this an agency listening session to order. Assistant General Counsel Mark Meyer.
Good morning. This is Mark Meyer, Assistant General Counsel of the Authority. Today's date is Thursday, November 10th, 2022. This agency listening session has been called to order by Executive Director Meister at the time of 11:01 a.m. and will remain open until 12:01 p.m., 60 minutes from now. This is a listening session only and is being conducted via video and audio conference. Staff of the authority, consistent with the authority's designation as the Climate Bank of the State of Illinois under Illinois' law, are holding this agency listening session regarding the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, which amended the Clean Air Act to create a new program through the United States Environmental Protection Agency, US EPA, the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, the GGRF. This first-of-its-kind federal program will provide competitive grants to mobilize financing and leverage private capital for clean energy and climate projects that reduce greenhouse gas emissions, with an emphasis on projects that benefit low-income and disadvantaged communities, and further the Biden-Harris administration's commitment to environmental justice. Executive Director Chris Meister is currently with me in the Authority Chicago office, the physical location of this listening session, and participating via video and audio conference. Some guests and staff are similarly at the location of the meeting and participating via video and audio conference, while some other guests and staff will attend this meeting solely via video and audio conference. As we take the role, the response of the guests and staff will be taken as an indication that they can hear all discussion and testimony. Since this is an agency listening session, I will recognize guest members and staff who are present. Please respond with a present when I call your name. Guest member Jurasek.
Here, present.
Guest member Poor.
Present.
Guest member Poole.
Present.
Executive Director Chris Meister.
Present.
IFA IT expert Rob Litchfield.
I'm present.
Guest Chair and Member Hobart.
Present.
Before we begin making our way through today's session, I would like to request that each speaker mute their audio when possible to eliminate any background noise. Unless you are speaking, answering a question, or otherwise providing any comments for the record. If you are participating via video, please use your mute button found on your taskbar on the bottom of your screen. Be able to see the control bar by moving your mouse or touching the screen of your tablet. For any guest member, staff, or anyone from the public participating via phone, to mute and unmute your line, you may press *6 on your keypad if you do not have that feature on your phone. As a reminder, we are being recorded. The court reporter is transcribing today's listening session. For the consideration of the court reporter, I would also like to ask that each speaker state their name before speaking or otherwise providing any comments for the record. Finally, I would like to confirm that all members of the public attending in person or via audio conference can hear this meeting clearly. Chris, can you confirm this video and audio conference is clearly heard at the physical location of this meeting?
Thanks, Mark. This is Chris Meister. I'm physically present in the conference room on the 10th floor of 160 North LaSalle. With me are guest chair Will Hobart and guest member Amaya Pawar. I can confirm that I can hear all discussions at the physical location of the listening session. We've advised the security guards on the first floor that we have this public session today. The agenda for this listening session was posted on this floor and on the first floor of it, as well as on the authority's website as of last Friday, November 4th, 2022. Building security has been advised that any members of the public who choose to do so and who choose to comply with the building's public health and safety requirements may come to this room and speak in the posted manner and listen to these proceedings. Back to you, Mark.
This is Mark Meyer. Thank you, Chris. If any members of the public participating via video or audio conference find that they cannot hear these proceedings clearly, please call 312-651-1300 or write info@il-fa.com immediately to let us know, and we will endeavor to solve the audio issue. Thank you, Chair Hobart.
This is Will Hobart. Welcome. This is the first time that we have conducted an agency listening session. As you've heard, this morning's topic is the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. The GGRF is an important opportunity for the authority and our state statutory role as the climate bank for the Illinois as a whole. The GGRF is a new program, and the federal government is in the process of shaping it. The amount of the GGRF money that the federal government will be distributing nationally is estimated to be as large as $27 billion, and the timeline of such funding is aggressive. In our view, the GGRF purposes are consistent with the purposes of the Illinois Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, or CEJA, specifically the goal of putting 1 million electric vehicles on Illinois roads by 2030, reaching 100% of clean energy in Illinois by 2050, and while prioritizing job creation, training, placement, reflecting the diversity of Illinois. Importantly, US EPA is conducting its own public engagement efforts, so our work today merely complements US EPA's public engagement efforts. However, as the authority shapes its approach to compete for limited GGRF funds, the authority wants to hear as many voices as possible. We will limit each guest statement to 3 minutes, and an email address has been provided for written comments. We thank everyone for your interest in this listening session and for taking time out of your day. Before I ask Chris to provide a brief overview of the GGRF opportunity, I turn to my colleagues, Member Jurczak, Pawar, and Poole.
Yes, this is Member Arlene Jurczak, and I want to say, first of all, this is, as has been stated several times already this morning, an unprecedented opportunity in both potential funding size and the aggressiveness of the implementation schedule. And it's going to be important that all of us, grant applicants and grant recipients, do this right, because I think the whole world is going to be looking at us. So this morning's opportunity to have public input is really going to be critical to shaping the quality of our response. I see that we have more than 71 folks who have chosen to join us this morning, and I'm looking forward to all of your comments. I see a varied group of you who are joining us from all segments of the interested public, and I encourage you to be candid, to be succinct, and to be constructive. We're very much looking forward to hearing from all of you.
Good morning. This is Member Amaya Pawar. This is an exciting day because Section 134 of the Inflation Reduction Act is an opportunity to inject much needed private capital into low-income and disadvantaged communities across Illinois, improve the health of those communities by reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and do so consistent with the governor's goals outlined in CEJA and in a manner that reflects the true diversity of Illinois. Thank you.
Roger?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very interesting program, obviously. Something that we could use, vitally use in the state of Illinois, that's obvious. So I'm pleased to be here this morning to listen in on the program. I've been a union machinist, a member of the Machinist Union, 50 plus years, and I've had been active at all levels of the American labor movement. And also belong to the, was vice president of the AFL-CIO. The people who brought you the middle class in the weekend, I'm excited for the opportunity. Opportunities that Section 134 of the IRA offer to the trained and effective women and men of organized labor. I am the longest serving labor representative on the Illinois Finance Authority, and I'm grateful to Governor Pritzker for the opportunity to serve that we have this listening session this morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chris, over to you.
Great, thank you. For all the stakeholders, there is a memo that is posted on our website labeled appropriately to stakeholders. Much of it has been summarized in the comments up to this moment. I do want to make sure that everybody is aware, because the links towards the US EPA's Environmental Finance Advisory Board and the relevant dates, and those are open to the public, are there on the bottom of page one. The US EPA has provided a GGRF website, which has a wealth of information on it. But specifically, I want to turn to the actual statute, which fortunately is about 2+ pages and is very brief. So I just really want to outline the zero emission technologies, which the IFA as a public entity can compete for, along with nonprofit eligible entities. EPA is authorized to make these grants on a competitive basis. It's up to $2 billion, but specifically, the goal is to provide financial assistance, including technical assistance, to enable and benefit low-income and disadvantaged communities to deploy or benefit zero-interest technologies, including rooftop distributed technologies, and to carry out other activities. That's $7 billion. There's close to $12 billion. Again, competitive to nonprofit eligible recipients. Three, there's up to $8 billion to low-income and disadvantaged communities. To eligible recipients, there is a group that helped with this legislation, the Coalition for Green Capital. They're seeking to create a national green bank. There is some federal legislative intent on that. But again, really the focus of today's discussion is for us to listen on those sorts of financial assistance, those sorts of loans, grants, guarantees, technical assistance, needs in Illinois that should the Illinois Finance Authority, as the Climate Bank, be fortunate to receive these monies, that we could maximize its utility and sustainability of these funds over the long term. Should we begin? I'm sorry. This is a listening session. The instructions for the attendees are here. If any attendee is participating by video, please indicate by raising your hand. I believe we already have one. Click the raise hand option at the bottom of your screen, and you should be able to see that on the taskbar. If you're participating by phone, please indicate your desire to raise your hand by pressing *9. Each attendee will be speaking for 3 minutes or less. We'll have a timer. We have a large number of attendees, so we would encourage you, if you have less than 3 minutes, use less than 3 minutes. We also have the opportunity to submit comments in writing The website is notice. It is on the website, on the notice. It's open until 5 p.m. Central Time on November 18th, 2022. Session's being recorded, and we have a court reporter here transcribing the discussion. When you are called upon, please be slowly state and spell your name so that the court reporter can accurately record it. Rob Litchfield, our colleague, will help us manage the queue. Back to you, Will.
Thank you, Chris. This is Will Hobart. Rob, if you could, if I could ask you and Chris to work together to cue and call upon the attendee speakers, we will work to have as many attendee speakers as possible. This session will only run for 60 minutes total. Rob, do you have the speakers ready?
I have the first one is Stephen Nichols. I'm going to allow him to speak. Stephen? Oh, sorry.
Good morning. Good morning. From the Illinois Finance Authority Agency, listening session materials related to the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund guidelines. Number three, qualified project. The term qualified project includes any project, activity, or technology that reduces or avoids greenhouse gas emissions and other forms of air pollution in partnership with and by leveraging investment from the partner, private sector, or the Illinois Finance Authority must exclude any carbon capture projects from consideration of funding due to the fact that carbon dioxide capture and transportation, whether for sequestration or enhanced oil recovery, is a net emitter of greenhouse gases. Therefore, it fails Section 3A as quoted above. Carbon dioxide capture and transportation for sequestration or enhanced oil recovery does not reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The Illinois Finance Authority must further include debt reduction as a path for greenhouse gas reduction by municipal electric aggregators and rural electric co-ops to their generation facilities. This is one of the only paths to a cleaner mix of future power generation for those of us in beautiful rural Illinois. Until the coal plants retire, we rural Illinoisans inevitably contribute to the destruction of that which so many generations have taken for granted, a livable planet. And my name is Stephen Nichols, N-I-C-K-E-L-S, and I'm with Illinois People's Action. And I thank you for allowing me to address you.
Thank you, Stephen. Rob?
Sorry. So our next up on our list is Jonah.
Hi, my name is Jonah Rubin. That's J-O-N-A-H, last name R-U-B-I-N. I'm sitting here with my 10-week-old son, Raphael, R-A-P-H-A-E-L. And we're from Galesburg, Illinois. We're a small city in Western Illinois of 30,000 people. And historically, we were the type of town where you could get a good paying union job and be in the middle class. That changed 18 years ago now when Maytag left town. And since then, it's hit us hard. The scars of Maytag leaving here really is still felt here. We have a nearly 20% poverty rate here in Galesburg. You know, one of the things that is amazing about CEJA is the presence of these workforce hubs where people can get really strong training for founding a green business, get strong training for getting those good paying middle-class jobs. We don't have one in Galesburg. It's a lot to ask people from my community to travel 45 minutes or an hour to get to Peoria to go attend class so that they can get a job 3 months, 6 months from now. We're getting a lot of federal money. It would be amazing if we could just direct those to found more of these CEJA workforce hubs in communities like mine, the gap communities that don't have these opportunities for training, that don't have the opportunities to get that that pathway to the middle class that historically this town has had. And so I'd urge the Climate Bank to really explore the possibility of expanding the CEJA workforce training sites towards communities like mine that are gap communities that could really use them. I will just echo the previous speaker as well in saying that one thing we don't want in our community are these carbon capture pipelines. They're not producing long-term paying jobs. I don't see why we should help Iowans pollute more. And I definitely don't want to be driving and have one of them explode in my community as they have in several other communities. So we want real solutions like the CETA workforce hubs in my community, and we don't want false solutions that don't help communities, that make communities more dangerous, and that give a license to pollute elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonah. Rob, next up.
So next up, we have Joyce, is it Harant? Joyce?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great, thank you very much. My name is Joyce Harant, and I'm in Peoria, and my background is interest in training in public health, and also serve as a Peoria Park District trustee. And I'm here representing the Central Illinois Healthy Community Alliance. I noted with interest Mr. Meister's statement when he used a reference to zero emissions versus, and I would like to encourage you to begin using the term real zero emissions, because some are now starting to use this term net zero. And that refers to, in my view, the use of carbon capture and sequestration or enhanced oil recovery techniques that give us the false hope that we will be able to continue burning fossil fuels forever and just put it in the ground. And that is a false hope. We know that there are other health impacts from other pollution sources when we burn fossil fuels. I believe it's inconsistent with CEJA, where we want to close the coal plant. So I'm encouraging you as Illinois Finance Authority to not fund and encourage through your funding sources any carbon sequestration projects or pipeline projects. Others have pointed out the dangers. It's unrisky, untested. And there's really no assurance that every carbon dioxide molecule that is put in the ground will stay in the ground. And once it starts coming out, we have no control over it. So we can better spend our funds funding renewable energy, energy efficiency, making sure electric vehicles are built out and they are charged by renewable energy. And again, that we use our funds to ensure that equity contractors can get the jobs, that the hubs are supported, so that we can ensure that our environmental justice communities get the benefit from the climate fund that we all intended when we passed CEJA. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joy. Rob?
Excuse me. Next up, we have Peter Schwartzman.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm the mayor of Galesburg, Illinois, a city of 30,000 residents in West Central Illinois. I'm also an environmental studies professor at Knox College and have been there since 1998. I'm also a member of the IPA, Illinois People's Action. Over my 30 years as an environmental scholar, I've published several peer-reviewed articles on climate change and energy. I have also co-authored a book in 2019 on the future of energy and food. As a scientist and politician, I see amazing opportunities for Illinois to become a primary provider of clean energy in the future for the Midwest and beyond. And when I say future, I'm talking near future. We have ample wind and solar energy in our state, not only for Illinois, but for all surrounding states. As an elected leader of my community for the past 12 years, I have focused a lot of attention on energy savings and renewable energy development. We have seen amazing progress. We first aggregated our power 8 years ago, and we've saved our residents millions of dollars over this time. We had a solar array put at our water pumping station, which is located outside of Galesburg. That was started up in 2020. And we are saving residents and the city $50,000 a year on that. We have also currently have an RFP now to put solar in our city's water plant, storage of plant, and we see that as a very lucrative and environmentally safe and responsible path. Two large projects are planned in renewable energy for our county. Both are over $50 million. One is a wind project that's held up in court currently, but should be released soon, and a very large 400-acre array, solar array just south of town. That's going to bring incredible amounts of tax revenue to our community, provide revenues for farmers and other landowners. I hope you guys know about the agrivoltaics programs that are being taught now at the University of Illinois, so we can grow food and extract energy from plots at the same time. Closing thoughts, very important. These are very important developments in rural communities. These are really good jobs and good paying ones. The tax revenue I alluded to is very important to sustain these communities. But we need to train and hire local people, and with emphasis on low income.
Peter, you have less than 30 seconds left.
Thank you. I want to emphasize too the incredible potential for energy storage. For us to become a net energy provider of energy for other communities outside of Illinois, which I think we have the capacity to do, we need to invest in energy storage. We're ready to move forward, and I'm looking forward to and eager to apply for green financing through the Climate Bank so we can be aggressive with our continued efforts in our community. Thank you again.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate those thoughts. If we cut you off because of the 3 minute time limit, please feel free to submit more thoughts by email. We would appreciate that. Rob, next.
So our next caller is Dawn Denenbring. Dawn, you're muted.
Thank you. My name is Dawn Denenbring. I'm an environmental justice organizer for Illinois People's Action. You've heard from some of our members already. We have members throughout Illinois outside of Chicago. And our members were heavily involved in passing the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act and are now working on implementing the bill. I serve on the leadership team of the Downstate Caucus and the Job and Economic Justice Committee of the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition, but I am speaking on behalf of Illinois People's Action today. CEJA is groundbreaking in both addressing the climate crisis and our need to build a new green economy, leading with racial equity. And it would be our recommendation that you use the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund money to amplify CEJA. Because money is not unlimited, we ask that you apply a litmus test as you decide how to prioritize your spending. And if this sounds like I'm amplifying some of what you've already heard, it's probably because it's so important. So specifically, we would ask that you ask yourselves two questions to either move a proposal forward or to stop it in its tracks. The first is, will this project support the build out of truly renewable energy, prioritizing solar and wind and doing it in a racially equitable way? It needs to be a yes to this answer to move forward. And the second question needs to be a no, and that is, would any portion of this project prolong fossil fuel use, invest in fossil fuel infrastructure? Would it promote new uses for fossil fuels or allow for disproportionate life cycle impacts on the health, safety, or environmental justice communities? If any portion of that is a yes, the proposal needs to be stopped in its tracks. I thank you for the opportunity to provide this oral testimony, and we'll follow up with written comments that further explain this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dawn. Rob?
Our next speaker is Don from Illinois People's Action.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Executive Director and members of the board. My name is Don Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N. I'm the Executive Director of Illinois People's Action. And we're geographically, I think, probably the most diverse community-based organization in Illinois, with membership from Rockford and Galena in the north to Johnson County in the south, with a focus of organizing in the cities of Peoria, Decatur, Danville, Galesburg, and Rockford, and in rural communities as well. What I really want to do is to amplify some of the presentations that you've heard already, I believe all of whom have been IPA members. There's really three pillars, but they're you know, multiple items under those. The first is making sure that you lead with racial equity. CEJA does is very explicit about 40% of the benefits going to R3 and EJ environmental justice communities. I would just add that the president's own Justice 40 initiative refers to BIPOC communities 13 different times in the executive order. So you can be explicit in talking about BIPOC and disadvantaged communities. Secondly, as you've heard from our leaders in Galesburg, and there will be others from Danville and elsewhere, make sure that the projects are geographically diverse. You know, and I know, that Chicago is going to get theirs. And the challenge is going to be is to make sure that clean energy, equitable job projects, equitable clean energy projects are across the breadth of the state, including far south Illinois. And third, as you just heard from Dawn and others, do not spend this on false solutions. You know, all you have to do is to kind of do a little Google search about future Gen 1.0. And the fact that that was going to be a $1.6 billion boondoggle. Then you look at future Gen 2.0, that this own authority went to Washington, D.C. to try to promote to the federal government. And that was taking, I think, at least on the carbon sequestration piece, $86 million. They put it in a parking lot and burned it. We don't need future Gen 3.0. That would be a disaster. The only thing that's changed in that picture is that the sequestration has become much more expensive, if you can believe it, and there is now an organized grassroots movement in opposition.
Caller, you have 30 seconds.
And closing, don't shut this down at 12 o'clock. I realize that this is one of the first times you've had citizen participation. Don't leave a whole bunch of people out of this presentation and tell them to write something in an email. Reschedule something in addition so you can hear from everyday people in this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate those thoughts. And to that point, if we run out of time, we have a hard stop at noon. If we run out of time, we will be rescheduling for Thursday, November 17th at 7 p.m. for another round of listening if we run out of time. Rob?
Our next caller is Phoebe Downey.
Hi, this is Phoebe Downey. I'm a principal at the Chicago Metropolitan Agency of Planning. We're the MPO that represents Chicago, Cook County, and the six surrounding collar counties. We kind of look at electrification of the regional transportation network daily here, working to kind of, with our regional partners, to strategically approach and prepare for the electrification process, both transit, freight, personal EVs. One of the things we've regularly heard from our municipal agencies, as well as our other partners in the area, is that though there's a lot of funding available for purchasing EVs and EV charging infrastructure, and that they really are starting to see like the benefits of switching their fleets to EV to benefit these like low and disadvantaged communities, reducing their greenhouse gas emissions. The challenge is some of the initial upfront capital costs that they're fighting, especially regarding cost of facility and utility upgrades that is also involved in electrifying fleets in many cases. I do see kind of the IFA and this funding as a potential to offer some kind of revolving loan fund program, just like they do in other spheres for municipal agencies, that would help to overcome the initial upfront costs and barriers. And then these agencies, with the savings they're making of electrifying their fleet, the kind of the life cycle costs are coming down significantly. Those savings could be used to kind of pay off those loan and that debt in the long term. It just seems like a really great opportunity for someone like IFA, who has this experience in this sphere already, to provide some kind of program like that with this funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Phoebe. I appreciate your thoughts. Rob, next speaker.
Our next speaker is Jeff Crabill.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Thank you so much for allowing the opportunity to speak. And also appreciate you holding another session in the evening so I think more people would be able to attend. I am a member of Illinois People Action, but I am speaking as a member of the City Council for the City of Bloomington individually. And I can see where the City of Bloomington could benefit greatly from funds from this source. We for instance, have millions of dollars worth of fleet vehicles in our city. We have tried to do what we can with it, idle reduction technology, but we just don't simply have the funds to make all those vehicles electric. Also, we do have disadvantaged areas of our communities, many of which would support solar panels, wind farms, that type of thing. Many of our government buildings also could be used for solar and help reduce the city's energy bill. All this work would provide good paying jobs for people in those disadvantaged community. I would strongly encourage the use of these funds for local communities to do more than what we otherwise could with our limited budgets. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate your thoughts. Rob, next.
Our next speaker is Stratford Shields. Stratford, you need to unmute yourself.
Thank you. My name is Stratford Shields. I appreciate the opportunity to address the authority in this open meeting with Loop Capital, which is based in Chicago. I am a managing director and the head of the specialized finance group there. Loop Capital is the largest minority-owned securities firm in the United States. It is also headquartered in Chicago. We have a long history at Loop Capital of working with the authority, which is a trusted participant in the capital markets. The IFA has been a leader in ESG financings in the capital markets. It's one of the first issuers to have issued green bonds for the state's water and wastewater state revolving fund programs. We at Loop also have been a partner with the IFA on financings for the PACE program, which is the Property Assessed Clean Energy Financing Program, which is for energy efficiency and renewable energy projects or commercial facilities, which we have financed through the IFA, mostly in Chicago. We would hope to work with the IFA many greenhouse gas financing opportunities for clean energy and climate projects based on its history of using innovative financing to maximize the leverage or the impact of these new federal programs, as the IFA has done in the past for local governments, and as I've mentioned before, for the Illinois EPA's water and wastewater programs. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to address the authority and would like to express our interest in continuing to be the authority's partner as it looks to maximizing impact of these new financing programs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stratford. We appreciate your time. Rob, next.
Our next caller speaker is Deborah Whitaker. Deborah, you need to unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah.
Hello, Deborah Whitaker, Director of Business Development and Diverse Supply Chain with Hire 360. One of our main focuses is to work with 120 diverse businesses that are have been invested in and have not really had tremendous amount of opportunities. And now we have these opportunities that are presenting themselves. And one of the biggest obstacles for any of these businesses in order for them to participate in these opportunities is access to capital, you know, equipment purchases and things that are needed that some of the small businesses do not have the capabilities of being able to take advantage of. So whereas these programs are coming to actually move us forward and help us to actually, like I said, you know, eliminate the greenhouse gases, we have to take in consideration, it's also an opportunity for generational wealth creation for a lot of businesses that have not had those type of opportunities. So I'd like for the consideration to be made towards making sure that, you know, the technical assistance that this is gonna come out of this, and, you know, would actually have some allowance for companies to be able to, as we're scaling them up, get that access to capital, get that access to the training and the capabilities for them to actually participate and take advantage of this, and not just be something where some of the larger companies that you know, traditionally get those opportunities just kind of throw out the crumbs to those smaller businesses. So just want to make sure that there's a lot of emphasis on inclusion for those minority businesses.
Thank you, Deborah. Mm-hmm. We appreciate your thoughts. Rob, it looks next up is Ben.
Sorry. Oops. All right, Ben Jackson is next. Ben?
Hello, I'm here. Thank you. My name is Ben Jackson. I'm Executive Vice President with the Illinois Bankers Association. Appreciate this opportunity to weigh in on this important matter. Appreciate the IFA having this public listening session. And it provides us an opportunity to talk about our industry's perspective, the perspective of banks, community banks, and money center banks operating throughout Illinois in every community throughout our state, to talk about our strong decades-long relationship with the Illinois Finance Authority. The Illinois Finance Authority has been a critical partner throughout the decades on a number of initiatives, from farm lending for Illinois farmers and ranchers and agribusinesses partnering with private banks, as well as on larger scale projects, such as what is being undertaken with CPACE, for example, or in securing and appropriately implementing funds from the Inflation Reduction Act. We strongly support, and we wrote a letter of support for the agency receiving funds under this program that would help Illinoisans across the state. And it would also continue to strengthen that partnership between private finance in Illinois, helping the Illinois economy, while also ensuring there's a public partner that is critical to this process of moving Illinois towards a clean energy future. We strongly support funds coming into Illinois from the federal stimulus bill to support development of green energy throughout the state of Illinois. IFA, we've worked with them in Springfield, in Chicago, all over, to come up with ways to strengthen that partnership between private finance and government for many years to come. And that includes working together on the PACE program, getting that right in Springfield, as well as the Climate Bank, which the authority established a short time ago. We believe these funds couldn't be better placed than they would be with the IFA. They have a long
30 seconds
track
left.
Record. They have a long track record of appropriately using these funds. They have a independent board that oversees the administration of that, with many finance experts placed on that board. We have the utmost confidence in the IFA appropriately using those funds going forward. Thank you for the time. Appreciate the opportunity to testify on behalf of the industry here.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate your thoughts. Rob, next up.
Next up, we have DeMario Green.
Hello, this is DeMario Green. I'm the Policy and Government Relations Director for the Chicago Community Loan Fund. We're a minority-led mid-sized CDFI serving Chicagoland since 1991. In that time, we've provided more than 545 loans that have leveraged more than $1.6 billion in follow-on financing for for-profit and nonprofit developers, bolstering access to affordable housing, commercial retail, community facilities, and social enterprises to LMI communities across Chicagoland. We've also been able to preserve or create nearly 11,600 units of housing, more than 6,500 jobs, and 12.2 million square feet of commercial real estate space and nonprofit facility space. Core to what we do is sustainability and decarbonization. And we're firmly committed to working with borrowers who understand the importance of proactively reversing the extensive history of environmental racism that has plagued Black and Brown communities that we primarily serve. To that end, we've been able to leverage more than $333 million to support green initiatives in the very types of historically disinvested communities that the GGRF is intended to uplift. And we definitely want to highlight that CDFIs like ours are some of the most uniquely tailored to serve majority neighborhoods and LMI communities, because that's where we're most deeply embedded. And it's important that the awarding process for the GGRF be diverse. You cannot concentrate GGRF funds in the hands of a few organizations. A diverse applicant pool ensures equitable environmental and community outcomes. And we've stressed that to the EPA, and we also want you all to know that it's important to strengthen the fund's impact in low income and disadvantaged communities by specifically empowering emerging and minority-led non-depository community financial service providers who are deeply entrenched in these communities. It's also vital that the award be it for at least 40% of all program funds to qualified applicants that are embedded in, reflective of, and have a genuine history in the low-income and disadvantaged communities that they serve. We also have to lead with energy efficiency as a strategy to maximize greenhouse gas reductions in low-income and disadvantaged communities. We have to do the non-sexy stuff, the regular everyday stuff, and we have to do it better. In addition, we need to make sure that whatever the way this program takes shape.
DeMario, we have 20 seconds.
Got you. That we incentivize the leveraging of public and private resources, because it takes both sides. We've been able to partner with some great folks to do some amazing things in the green space, and we want to continue that work. And we know that we can do that with the help of IFA and the GGRF and the EPA. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, DeMario. We appreciate your thoughts. Rob, next up looks like Tim.
Yes, our next speaker is Tim Williams.
Good afternoon. Tim Williams here with RBC Capital Markets. And wanted to just offer some insight input here with regard to these grants, these new funds from the federal government, and how they would be received by the capital markets through the Illinois Finance Authority. You've got a really well-regarded, best-in-class, entity in the authority that has used capital grants, capitalization grants, and federal funding for over two decades to leverage that into multiples of one, two, or three times the amount that would have otherwise been funded through a leveraging, and that's the Drinking Water Act and Clean Water Act bonds. And this is a perfect opportunity, as it relates to the programs under IRA, greenhouse gas reduction, et cetera, to continue to use that expertise. And just want to note or for the record that these concepts, these structures for leveraging are very well received by the capital markets. And of course, IFA has a long history of expertise in this area, well regarded by the market, and would be an opportunity for you to fund two, three, or four times as much as would otherwise be funded, with grants alone. That's it, and good luck with this, and look forward to opportunity to assist wherever we can.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Rob, next.
Next we have, looks like Melina Hessel.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity to comment today. I'm Melina Hessel, an Associate Director of Policy at Elevate. Elevate's an Illinois-based nonprofit with extensive programs in historically disinvested communities in-state, regionally, and nationwide. We design and implement energy efficiency, solar, building decarbonization, clean water, and workforce development programs that lower costs, protect the environment, and ensure that program benefits reach those who need them most. The Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund creates an opportunity to reduce carbon emissions and improve quality of life in historically disinvested communities. It builds on the clean energy wins that the state has already locked in through the passage of CEJA. And if the program is to live up to federal and state clean energy and equity goals, then it must be used to fill gaps in financing for projects brought forward by Environmental Justice, our three and Justice 40 communities, and that benefit those communities and the households in them. There are many attractive large-scale projects and companies in the clean energy space, but these projects and businesses are often able to access other sources of support, including tax credits, other IRA programs, and private capital. Smaller projects and smaller companies, and particularly disadvantaged and equity eligible communities, simply do not have the same access to capital. With that in mind, I want to speak to two different kinds of projects I see as key opportunities for this money to fund. First, energy efficient building retrofits, community scale renewables installations, and building decarbonization in residential buildings and buildings owned by community-based organizations are very difficult to move forward in the current financing environment. I would urge the IFA to focus its efforts and any comments it submits on these types of projects, which need additional support and have few places to go for it. Second, it is critical that the money from this fund is used to advance projects led by marginalized businesses, including equity eligible contractors. Funds should be used to help marginalized and disadvantaged businesses and the communities across the state from which they originate flourish. We'd like to see loan, grant, and or other financial products. 30 seconds left. Thank you. That support marginalized businesses pursue energy efficiency, solar, wind, and EV development across the state. And I'm confident that the IFA has the experience and track record to meaningfully support this goal, but I also urge you to explore what other entities may be important to truly reach a broad range of diverse businesses and communities, because we need to reach them all. Thank you for listening today. I'd urge the IFA to keep these remarks in mind as it drafts comments to the EPA, works with other funding partners, and develops its own programs. That's it.
Thank you, Melina. Rob, next up.
We have Scott Robertson.
How Scott? Are you? Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. Hello, my name is Scott Robertson, and I'm a vice president with B of A Securities. I wanted to share our observations with the authority on the State Revolving Fund Financing Program. We have observed that the authority operates an effective and transparent financing program on behalf of the state. Furthermore, the authority has used the capital markets to the advantage of the State Revolving Fund Program to achieve public benefits for this environmental financing program. Issuers like the authority, which run State Revolving Fund programs, are well-suited to lead programs like the one being discussed today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Scott. Rob, next up.
Next up is Brian, I'm sorry if I mispronounced this. Is it Lichty?
Yeah, it's Lichty, that's L-I-E-C-H-T-I, and I'm the Senior Manager of Market Engagement at Inclusive Prosperity Capital. IPC is a clean energy 501c3 financing platform spun out of the Connecticut Green Bank and focused on aligning investment capital and financing programs with organizations, projects, and community initiatives that benefit traditionally underserved markets. IPC partners with state and local governments, green banks, CDFIs, and other lenders, nonprofits and developers to create financing programs, de-risk other lenders, create new structures, own assets on their behalf, or collaborate on product program or process design. And in order to solve the problems that we're facing, we need to green our existing infrastructure and lending institutions to take capital, including new green capital, and leverage it, create new programs, scale programs, invest in job training and new lending, and alternatively secured lending to scale real meaningful programs for communities. This is about helping capital find its way to communities, and that's exactly what IFA does. This is new capital, and the key is to create, not create new programs in some cases, but to leverage existing programs and work across state agencies. I would like to agree with the point that Tim made earlier on IFA's historical use of leveraging federal funds, and I want to emphasize that we partner with organizations nationally, effectively operating as a virtual green bank. I want to thank the IFA for their opportunity to speak this afternoon, and best of luck as the process unfolds.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate your thoughts. Rob, next up.
Next up is John, is it Delury Ray?
Yeah, Delury. So thank you all for making this time, and just wanted to point out how robust the participation has been. And we may not hit the top of the hour, depending on how quick I and whoever follows me goes, but would definitely recommend an evening session if at all possible logistically. It just turns out different types of people who might be working now or might be otherwise engaged. So my name is John Delury. I'm with Vote Solar. Vote Solar is a national solar and justice advocacy organization. We focus on making solar more equitable and inclusive. I'm also on the steering committee of the Clean Jobs Coalition, on the boards of the Illinois Environmental Council and the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, but I'm speaking today just on behalf of Vote Solar. I would hazard that our shared goal is to get the money to the ground and to pull as much of it as possible to support the people of Illinois, in particular, low wealth and disadvantaged Illinois families. We need money to deploy large-scale climate and clean energy solutions. Don't get me wrong. I just don't worry as much about those projects that are easier to finance and have traditionally been easier to capitalize. I worry about the projects that are harder to finance, as some other speakers have referenced, those that are in disadvantaged communities, those that are built by disadvantaged contractors, or those contractors that have been blocked or overlooked by a long history of racist lending. We need to put solar on every roof and a heat pump in every home, with low-wealth Illinoisans at the very front of the line. Many of these financing products will require aggregating small projects, many of which that are done by small, often non-union mom-and-pop contractors. The Illinois Finance Authority's Climate Bank will be critically important, but not sufficient in achieving this goal. This is why my colleagues at the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition and I worked with members of the Illinois legislature to create a new inclusive financing entity. We spent months listening to disadvantaged communities and Black and Brown contractors, and consulted extensively with the Coalition for Green Capital when crafting the structure and role of this new entity. And thus, the same bill that created the Climate Bank authorities created a new green bank as well, the Clean Energy Jobs and Justice Fund. That fund is laser focused on equitable outcomes and was specifically designed as a nonprofit entity to both cover gaps in the financing landscape and to go places that other entities might not. The timing worked out.
30 seconds, John.
Thank you. The timing works out well, especially considering that 20 of the 27 billion in the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund is reserved for nonprofits and other similar eligible entities. When the moment comes, this is why we should have a coordinated approach to applying for funding for the state of Illinois. Thanks to CEJA, thanks to Governor Pritzker, thanks to many in state leadership, I believe Illinois is in position to claim over $1 billion of the 27 billion, but only if we work together and focus on real, not false, climate and clean energy solutions. So my direct ask in closing is that the comments submitted to the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund or about the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund express the need for multiple recipients at multiple scales, including the Jobs and Justice Fund, to fully achieve climate and economic justice. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We have time for one to two more callers, and we will also be scheduling a November 17th at 7 p.m. listening session. So with that, Rob, can you ask our next speaker to unmute?
Our next caller is Deontay Moore.
How's it going? Thank you all for allowing me this opportunity. I'm Deontay Moore. I'm the Green Jobs Workforce Program Director for the Illinois Environmental Council. And I just want to highlight, I think, three things. I think that all of the funding that's coming down the pipe from the federal government as a result of the creation of the Green Bank and the funding for disadvantaged communities as well, I think it's important to utilize those funds to bolster the support in the operations of the 13 workforce hubs in the state. That may also include expanding satellite facilities that provide training as well, similar to what's provided in the workforce hubs. Likewise, I think that it's imperative that the IFA considers supporting the IPA's Energy Workforce Equity Database. Given the history of an inequitable job placement, I think we need to ensure that there's a mechanism in place to track people's not only entrance into the workforce hubs, their progress throughout the workforce hubs, and their integration into the jobs. Without a mechanism like that in place or system, which would be a robust database in place, I think we would fail to be able to ensure that the job placements and the job training is reaching the disadvantaged communities. And not only that, I think we would also fail our just transition communities who are transitioning from coal communities throughout the state. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Illinois Environmental Council for that, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Deontay. We appreciate your thoughts. With that, we have more speakers left than we have time for. It's been 60 minutes. Chris, will you please post for the November 17th, 7 p.m. listening session to continue?
Yes, we hope to have that posting today. We hope to capture everybody who is on this list, the phone numbers and the other emails. Joe Duffy, Eric Heineman, Karen Youngblood, and Samantha Costanzo, I think we could reach out to you. You had your hands raised, and we'll do that this afternoon. Thank you.
And we are thrilled that everybody was joined this call. We greatly appreciate the feedback that everybody has given us. Truly, truly amazing. Everything will be taken into consideration. We look forward to many more comments on Thursday, November 17th, starting at 7 p.m. Please be on the lookout for the details of that as Chris will post it. And again, I thank you all for your time, your very thoughtful comments, and I look forward to hearing more from all of you and more Thursday evening, November 17th. With that, Mark?
Again, this is Mark Meyer, Chair Hobart, Executive Director Meister. The time is 12:02 p.m. This agency listening session is adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.